This from John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus then said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We're descendants of Abraham, never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." It's Freedom Week. We celebrate and give thanks for freedom on many levels. And in some ways, we might say to Jesus, as did the descendants of Abraham, "We've never been in bondage. How can you say we'll be made free? We live in the United States of free America." Jesus talks about freedom in a different way. Freedom as in free indeed, and in theological terms in this text, it means freedom from sin, which is an interesting take on freedom, which does not, by the way, mean freedom from never doing anything wrong or being hurtful or neglectful or any such thing. In a more broad sense, sin is more accurately defined as estrangement, as in separation, as in profound and even ultimate separation one from another that only God can bring about reuniting through the saving act of Jesus. Well, this notion of sin as estrangement and the freedom from it gives us an opportunity to talk about how we might use the freedom we have in this country specifically to bring about, if not full unification on all things, at least build bridges across some of the things that estrange us from other people, politically, socially, ideologically, and so on. So I want to talk about how the freedom we celebrate as we celebrate Independence Day enables and inspires us to be more free indeed, that is, less estranged one from another. For we are free in many ways. We are free to live in the United States of America. Now, what does that mean, and how did it happen? A couple of interesting points. What it means is something rather stark and I think deeply profound. I shock my students with what I'm about to tell you. Living in the United States is distinct from virtually everywhere else on earth with regard to the resources and opportunities that we have. The federal government assigns a level of income beneath which is referred to as poverty. And in the United States, a family of four living with less than $22,500 a year is regarded as, and becomes eligible for some benefits, as impoverished. 22.5. Well, I've got a little thing that I show my students called a world wealth calculator. And you can plug in the income you make, and it will tell you what percentile you live in worldwide. 22.5, which is the poverty line in the U.S., places anyone who lives with that level of resource in the upper 10% of the world. Poverty in the U.S. is in the 10th percentile or above worldwide. That is stunning. It is just stunning to imagine how blessed we are. Now, that level of resource and the freedom that goes with it, how did that happen? How did we wind up being born here? How well did we pick our parents, you might say, that landed us in the U.S.? A lot of it's random chance. And that random chance of how we are born has interesting consequences. There's a metaphor for this that I just experienced a couple weeks ago. Regardless of what you read on Facebook, it really isn't all that easy to enter the United States. It's not all that easy even to enter the United States when you have been to another country and are coming back to your homeland, a born lifelong citizen with a valid U.S. passport. It's still a little bit of a hassle. In some places, much more than a little bit of a hassle. And what's interesting to me is that when we came back into the U.S. from Canada, there's this sort of filtering process where you get into the airport and then you start being filtered here to there. All those entering the United States go this way. All those entering, leaving here and going somewhere else go this way. All those entering the United States who are citizens of the U.S. go this way. All those entering the U.S. with non-U.S. passports go this way, right? And it takes a while and they look at you, because entering the United States is a privilege. And you're lucky if that's what you get to do. And you're even more lucky if you pick your parents well enough, and how random is that, to live here almost for granted, as it were. Well, that freedom isn't free. It comes at a great cost and is high value. Tom Davis is a name you might not know. You might know him as the one half of the writing team of Davis and Franken, or Franken and Davis, Senator Al Franken, formerly of Saturday Night Live fame. Tom Davis, one of the great unsung comedic minds of our generation. The late Tom Davis died in 2012 of cancer at age 59, and he knew right up until shortly before he died that he would. And in his own comedic way said, "Honor dead people. I'll be one soon. Dead people are people too." And then he said, "Dead people have fought in every war." Pretty profound. We live freely in the U.S. by random chance, at great cost and of high value. To what effect? God also gives us a second level of freedom. He gives us free will. And I think that it's regarded by theologians as God's greatest gift, the freedom to make our own decisions. I'm sure there are days when God says to himself, that wasn't such a great idea, because I watch what they do with their free choice. I try to teach this to my students, that even the most mundane choices you make have consequences, at least in micro, that when added up can be pretty profound. Even the choice of what shoes to buy, if you consider where they were made and who made them and by what process and who might or might not have been exploited in the process. I'd just soon buy the shoes and not think about that, Jerry. Do this if nothing else. I ask my students to just, whenever they think of it, go to Google and key in the words boycott list. Boycott list. What companies or corporations are the subject of boycotts by some activist group, and for what reason? And it doesn't matter what the issue is or what side of it you're on, I don't care. Just raise your level of awareness. An example. Several years ago, the Domino's Pizza Corporation was owned by a family, the Hicks family, a very wealthy family from Detroit, that basically turned Domino's Pizza into a conglomerate, and they've been sold. Well, in the early days of that, some people became aware that the Hicks family that owned Domino's Pizza were very devout Catholics, and as a result gave a portion of all of their profits to what turns out to be fairly aggressive anti-abortion political causes. Fine by me, no problem. And a lot of people boycotted Domino's Pizza because of that, but a lot of people bought nothing but Domino's Pizza for the same reason. And in both instances, their level of awareness of the consequences of making a free choice, even one as simple and mundane as buying a pizza, connected them to the larger world. That's, I think, the freedom that we have. To exercise our will, and also to understand that the exercising of our free will has impact and consequence. So learn as an exercise in freedom. We are indeed free to live here, to exercise free choice, and also to serve along with those who serve in the military and in public service, but also to serve in our own way, energized as such. My good friend Mike has conscripted me from time to time to speak on behalf of the Honor Flight to help raise money. And every once in a while, I go here or there and give a very short speech, which is the only skill I have, is put a few words together in a minute or two that may have some impact. And I always start the opportunity to do that with these words. I am a Vietnam-era civilian with a high draft number. In other words, my involvement in that time in our nation's history with the Vietnam War was to stay at home and do what I was called to do, and I had the freedom to do that because a lot of other folks, through total random chance, remember how we pick our parents? Well, total random chance. I was in college and got to stay there. Well, that, I think, involves an honor and an obligation all its own. It is my obligation to honor those who enabled me to stay in college with my own life. Now, I've had conversations with my dad about this, who is a Korean War era veteran, served in the U.S. Army, but did not serve in combat, spent his entire hitch in the Army in Florida. And he feels sort of guilty about that, and I've enjoined him to get on one of these honor flights because he's honored in that way and he would be entitled to it, and he's declined. And I've told him what Mike has told me a number of times. What is it, Mike? There are 11 infrastructure soldiers supporting every combat veteran. And without that infrastructure, we don't get to do anything, right? Well, he finds that argument somewhat persuasive, but that's beside the point. It's the 11 soldiers that support each combat veteran that, by way of analogy, folds us into the mix. We are part of the cultural infrastructure, doing whatever it is that we are called to do, that support everybody else. Whether those others that we support through are living out our own calling, be combat veterans or infrastructure soldiers or first responders or anybody with whom we work. You see, we are all called to be who we can be and who we are. And every once in a while I think about this, and I can't say that every time I think about it I live up to it. But because I was able to stay in college, that created both an obligation and an honor to serve and to honor those who have enabled me to serve with the way that I do my work. And when I think about it, I do it a little bit better. And the freedom to serve may help draw us more closely together when we understand that we're all serving at the behest of those who've enabled it and by the grace of the God who created us. We are free to live here, to make choices, to serve. How does that build bridges? We just sang it. My country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, tis of thee. It means, I think, my country comes to me and I live in it because God gave it. Tis of thee, it's of thee, my country, tis of thee. And what's intriguing to me is that the tune of that song, one of our most sacred patriotic hymns, is, if it were played only in music, most other parts of the world would be understood by the title God Save the Queen, which is the national anthem of the United Kingdom of Britain. Let me say that again. One of our most sacred hymns celebrating the Independence Day of the U.S. is also the national anthem of the United Kingdom of Great Britain, the one from whom we fought for independence. Is that not somewhat ironic? And I also think somewhat hopeful that even in our most contentious moments, in the moment of contention that started our country, there's still a bridge of commonality. If that's true, it's true everywhere. The most honorable form of respect for country and service in the name of those who've enabled it is, I think, to understand that there's far more that unites us than separates us, and by God's grace, to live as though we knew that were true. And in so doing, we would live free. Free indeed, as Jesus proclaimed. Happy Independence Day. Amen.